The New Sign by Jan van Rijkenborg and Katha Rose de Petri. Chapter 1. In the New Sign. The moment is rapidly approaching when a part of the world will recognize and understand the truth about the Rosy Cross. From the web of slander, falsity, and mystification that the centuries have spun around this holy and sublime order, a monument of incomparable and unblemished beauty will arise, namely, the universal Christianity of the Rosicrucians. A Christianity that in the tiring course of time is still understood by very few. A day approaches when many who, like Saul, filled with aversion, persecution and murder towards the Rosy Cross, will accept the light and the love of this cross with great ardour and joy, and, like Paul, awaken from their blindness with new eyes. This order, beaten bloody and dying throughout all times but never defeated, will fulfil its assignment until the victory is gained, and then celebrate the festival of light and love with all those who are well disposed in the white temple of the one holy universal brotherhood of the divine hierophants. Ever and again a new work of the universal brotherhood is set in motion like trumpet blasts. As soon as the vibrations of the one sound have spread in a wide circle over the whole earth, a new pure sound is brought forth in the focal points of the order to spread its never-failing effect into the darkest corners of our planet. The modern spiritual school now stands in the sign of such a new commencing work. The eternal Rosy Cross will prove its power with great tenacity, and we find the basis, the compendium of this activity, in, among other things, the classical and most significant testament of the order as far as its appearance in the Western Hemisphere is concerned, the Alchemical Wedding of Christian Rosicross, anno 1459. The time has come when a part of this testament will be unveiled, and the chapters in this book too will make known the eternal truth contained in it. Up to this moment, the majority of humanity has seen blind and heard deaf, but is now led to a nadir as if at a furious pace. Therefore, it may be assumed that countless people who have been led astray by mystifications and false guidelines, and misled by the spirits of the abyss, will finally discover the truth in its pure and unadulterated form. We invite you to enter with us the initiation temple of the Brotherhood, under the shadow of the wings of the Holy Spirit. We offer these chapters to whoever wishes to serve the Holy Rosy Cross with hands, head, and heart, with the prayer in the heart that they too may one day find the way to the blessed wedding with our Lord and Saviour. The fact that the Alchemical Wedding of Christian Rosy Cross was published in print for the first time in the year 1616 in the West may serve as proof that the time has come for a closer look at this testament of the Brotherhood. Since then, exactly 333 years have passed, and the year 1949 has the same magical key as the year 1616. If you are somewhat familiar with the magic of numbers, you will know just how ripe the moment is for a new trumpet blast over the wide lands. The address in which this was mentioned dates from 1949. The author of the work is reputed to have been the then well-known clergyman Johann Valentin Andrea, having written the story at the age of 16, but this record is of course based upon a mystification, for the content of the alchemical wedding is universal and contains knowledge that is as old as humanity. Although both Andrea's authorship and youthful age were never directly denied, it is known that he always expressed himself about it with a fine humour, which is why the bourgeois intellectual circles presumed with increasing authority that Andrea wanted to contribute his alchemical wedding to a series of comic romances, that it was something like a student's jest. Then through the centuries, a great struggle ensued between malevolent and hostile opponents, and Andrea's naive and barely understanding advocates. Was it a matter of mockery or truth? Should one regard his work as the fantastic, nonsensical jest of a comic youth, or the real experience of a Christian Rosicross? Andrea himself never gave a direct answer when asked this question. Both the persecutors and those interested were sent home unsatisfied. Yet the initial axiom of the alchemical wedding could have jolted anyone out of their dreams. For instance, in the introduction it states, "Do not cast pearls before swine or roses before asses." This saying could not be clearer. Whoever does not recognize the content of the alchemical wedding as a sublime key to the path does not yet need to know. The contents are not meant for those who do not understand. Not one single true pupil of the school of the Rosicross will talk about his order when there is no real interest and no basis for understanding. Andrea never was the author of The Alchemical Wedding. This work existed in manuscript far before his time. The ancient manuscripts reach back to the remotest past, to the dawn of dialectical humanity's history. The alchemical wedding of the symbolic Christian Rosicross has always accompanied humanity as a sublime share of the universal doctrine which God gave to Adam at the fall, just as the Fama Fraternitatis Roseae Crucis says. Andrea has done none other than to publicize in his own way, on the day shown him, the eternal truth that has its ground in the development of the work of the Universal Brotherhood. We give our attention to this publication to execute this same truth in the modern spiritual school. Both the indication of the wedding date, anno 1459, and Andrea's age of 16 years when he authored the work, have to be interpreted according to the hidden meaning of the Kabbalistic mysteries. The date 1459 explains to us the light from the hand of God in its connecting synthesis, which in Christ touches humanity anew in its deepest need. The age of 16 years means to be found hallowed in order to carry this light amidst humanity. The alchemical wedding shows us the Christian hierophantic path to unity with the original life through transfiguration. In 7 days, Christian Rosicross, the prototype of the human being in Christ seized by the Holy Spirit, experiences various ceremonies, tests, and experiences to finally reach the great light. The work is as rich as a gold mine. So let us descend into the shafts in order to learn to understand the royal art of building by means of the recovered treasures. To derive the concept alchemical wedding from it without error, it is first necessary to completely grasp what the name Christian Rosicross means. In the course of world history, many suppositions have been fabricated concerning the name Christian Rosicross. The most widespread view is that a certain person once bore the family name of Christian Rosicross. There is also the supposition that one must derive from it a symbol of very deep meaning. One says that the name derives from two Latin words, ros, which means dew, and crux, or cross, in which, however, one can also read the word light. In ancient alchemy, dew was considered the most powerful solvent for gold. So a Rosicrucian would be someone who searches for light with the help of dew. There have undoubtedly been people who avidly gathered the morning dew to experiment with it, but you will understand that one has to comprehend this as the heavenly dew that the Bible uses to indicate the original pranic light. There were also many who connected the symbol of the Brotherhood directly with the ordinary rose and the familiar cross, or with the blood of Christ that was spilled on the cross. So it becomes clear to us to what extent the most diversely oriented outsiders have ventured the most diverse speculations without being able to grasp the essential. It has to be added, however, that it is not made easy for anyone to penetrate to the core of the Rosicross. Firstly, because the Brotherhood is veiled in silence to the outside, and secondly, because the rose as well as the cross are such universal and aeons-old symbols that one can use them for almost anything. This too has happened throughout all times. There is, for example, a silver rose in the paradise of the Brahmins, a heavenly garden like those we know from many religious legends. In the paradise of the Brahmins, God resides amidst the silver rose, something like the tree of life in the paradise of Adam and Eve. It is said that Buddha was crucified because he stole a flower from this garden. Furthermore, one of the Gnostic Gospels recounts that Jesus was crucified in the highest heaven. One will understand this when one considers that Jesus came from Nazareth, which is situated on a slope of Mount Carmel. Nazareth means flower and Mount Carmel, the garden or vineyard of God. Jesus is thus the human being who, like a flower, lives in the garden of God. A medieval poem tells of a garden in which a rose is found. The walls of the garden are richly decorated with pictures that symbolically represent hate, betrayal, malice, greed, envy, grief, old age, hypocrisy, and poverty. Thus, all the suffering and sins of dialectical humanity. Whoever desires the rose, so the poem concludes, must break through suffering and sin, and if successful, will possess the rose as love's most beautiful reward. We could keep each other busy for hours on an excursion through all the stories and legends about the rose and the cross, but we shall mention just one more, the rose and the cross of paradise in Dante's Divine Comedy. In Dante's Paradiso, we see the rosy cross as the modern spiritual school represents it. Dante speaks of this mighty rosy cross as of a mighty ocean of light. When the smallest step already such a mighty light does span, how widely then at the farthest petals must be the rose's light expanse. No up or down there, no near or far, for where God's will instructs the way, there nature's laws do hold no sway. 'Twas into the gold of this rose's life eternal, which blooms and spreads its fragrance by degree, that Beatrice drew me. Paradiso Canto, 30th Free Translation. We have to learn to understand that fundamentally and structurally, the rose and the cross form a unity. By the rose, the Brotherhood intends us to understand the human aura or respiration field. The personality, the cross, stands within the rose, inseparably bound to it. The aura is an intrinsic part of the entire essential human reality and is anatomically just as complex as every other part. The rose that blooms on the cross of the dialectical human being has the inherent task of assimilating the result of human willing, thinking, feeling, and desiring, and consequently of attracting forces and substances that correspond to the general human state and repelling what is not in equilibrium with it. The aura is the karmic organ par excellence, specifically because it does not perish between each life and thus preserves the essence of the entire aeons-long human existence. The aura is the flower garden of the legend, neglected by its master and overrun with weeds. Its walls radiate outwardly and inwardly the forces of hate, malice, greed, envy, grief, old age, hypocrisy, and poverty, all the sins and suffering of the dialectical human being. Throughout all times, there have been many who wanted to clean up and weed this neglected garden, who wanted to turn it again into a rose garden in which the white rose would blossom anew under the heavenly dew. To that end, many have walked countless natural occult and natural religious paths and indeed achieved many changes in both the rose and the cross. People have developed many forms of culture, but they have not succeeded in making the gold of these cultural roses blossom into the heavenly fragrance of the completely liberated life. Now the Brotherhood is here, the universal Brotherhood that goes its way amidst so much incomprehension. It knows a path, a method, a royal art, with the help of which the timeless, inherent rose garden, the garden of the gods, the classical paradise, can be restored to its perfect, original splendor. This brotherhood desires to reveal this path to everyone, provided that the potential candidates are prepared to follow to the smallest details in the footsteps of Jesus the Lord, who possesses the Christ. To be able to follow the one path, candidates must clearly demonstrate they're taking leave of all cultural speculations. That one path has two fundamental aspects. Firstly, it is universally Christian. Therefore, the Rosicrucian who goes this path will bear the name Christian Rosicross. Secondly, it concerns the complete transfiguration of the dialectical Rosicross. As such, it entails an alchemical transmutation. That is why this one universal path is designated as the alchemical wedding of Christian Rosicross. Let us therefore acquaint ourselves with this path of salvation, so that the rose will one day radiate from our cross in unfading beauty.